First of all, delighted to be here in Lurgan Baptist. Absolutely, country comes to town this morning, this old farmer. I'm delighted to be with you all and your warmth and your fellowship. And just great to see all them young ones, isn't it? Tremendous. And young people, if you're here, anybody under 95, make as much noise as you want. Don't worry. Farmers well used to noise. Delighted. You know, friends were coming down the road there and you see the beauty of God's creation all around us. And the things we know we take for granted, and most of the people in today's world never even see the beauty of God's creation that's all around us. Come down the motorway and I saw how the spring crops last year have been taken off and now the winter crops have been planted. And you can see those wee seeds just growing up. And the first wee slide that Alan has to show you here, there's no better demonstration of faith than a farmer sowing the seeds into a field. There's a wee slide up here. And you know, friends, when you think about it, as I was coming down, and I saw the winter cereals just peeping up like that there. I thought, the farmer prepared the ground. He prepared it well, just so he was sharing with the young ones. He planted the seed. He fertilised it. And he shut the gate. Job done. He could do no more. It's the power of nature, the power of God behind nature that can give the increase. And every farmer knows that. There's no better demonstration of faith than a farmer or a man or a gardener planting a seed in a field or in a garden, friends. The wonder of God's creation. We thank God for a bountiful harvest. Tremendous year, this. Tremendous year. Many prayer meetings last year all over the country in the back end of the year. Back end of the year. Sorry, oh dear. They're away again. I know. You'll hear them all now. Praying just that people get through the winter. That there'll be no suicides. Now, people were struggling last year. It was a hard, hard slog and hard year. Bountiful harvest this year. Good weather for everybody. We thank God for it, my friends. I brought a tractor into the pulpit with me. I want to be slightly a wee bit different here. Probably never be asked back, but that's another story. Oh, friends, what a mighty weapon this is. I bought this a fortnight ago. I saw it and I wonder, only 1,000 of these have been made. And that's a limited edition. It's number 135. And that's a wee TE20. Developed by Harry Ferguson. And I have two of these in the yard at home, and they still do a bit of work yet throughout the world, by the way. 30 years of a man's life went into this machine. 30 years. He started in his mind in 1916 and developed this one here in 1946. 30 years of a man's life went to the making of this machine. And the reason why I'm showing you it is simply this. The burden that this man had, Harry Ferguson, why did he do it? What was the motivating factor behind it all? I could tell you stories all night about individual things that happened to him. But what do you think it was that spurred him on? It was a burden he had to feed a hungry world. It was a burden he had. Because in his mind, he was a farmer's son, the youngest. Anybody the youngest here in the family? There are two things happening to you. Either you're spoiled rotten, either that or you got all the work to do. Someone of the two. That's the way it is. And Harry Ferguson, he was the youngest. And he had all the work to do. And he was determined he'd make life a bit easier for himself. But the burden behind the whole thing was that, in his mind, it took 5 acres to feed a team of horses. To keep them all the year round. The days that they weren't working, the days that they weren't ploughing. It took 5 acres of good land to feed that team of horses. And his mind, if I could make something mechanical, then that 5 acres could grow potatoes. That 5 acres could grow vegetables to feed a hungry world. And it was a hungry time, by the way, that it was born in the first place. We're blessed here this morning. You've got full stomachs. I'm sure you've got a breakfast. And if you're not, you'll get your dinner. But there's parts of the world, you see, there's nothing. And this was Harry Ferguson's mentality to make this wonderful machine. That wee tractor, every tractor in the world, all the tractors that slows you up in the roads and everything else, the John Deere's, the Fence, the New Holland's, all come from this. This is known as the master patent of all patents, the Ferguson system. Everybody copied it ever since. Every tractor in the world today is developed from that wee grey Fergie of 30 years development in a man's head, all to feed a hungry world, my friends. And you know, he gave us the tools for the job. And here's, you bought that wee tractor, £325. Come on, £325 bought you the tractor. And if you could spare another £25, you got the plough along with it. So for £350, the horses were put out and you could move on. And I can remember my dad telling the story whenever he drove one of these things for the very first time. But you bought the tractor, you get 2 pieces of equipment. Here's the manual, come on. No 100 pages here, young men and women. There are no electronics in this thing. He gave you the pictures. He gave you bits of writing. And in the writing, they give you photographs as well to help to understand the writing. A wee simple pamphlet. They give you the tools for the job. That's all you need it. Every nut and bolt he designed in his head, he says, why did you give farmers 100 wrenches? They lost half of them. He gave a patent with two sizes in this machine. And that's just at the plough. I don't know, everything the farmer needed was the two sizes. And he put a tape measure up the side of it. And you know, wee fancy digital gauges that stop now, you just screwed the top off and you dipped in to see whether there's enough fuel in the tank in the morning or not. And 5 gallon would have run you all day. In fact, 5 gallon probably took you for 2 days. Then when you're out to the plough, you need a tape measure. He knew rightly a farmer would never need to have a tape measure. So here you measured the width of the plough and your furrows. Complete job. He gave us a manual and he gave us the tools to do the job. And friends, our God is the same. Our God has given us his manual, his word. And within that word, he gives us pictures and illustrations to help us to understand the word. And that's why being a farmer, I love things in black and white. And Alan, just the other morning, there's a wee photograph I took there 2 days ago. Nearly everything about my farm is black and white. Black and white cows, black and white dog. And the dog was thirsty in the next photo now. You see that, look? He's got 300 gallon of water to, you know, it's a silly dog that, you know. It's not really that sensible. But I love it a bit because it follows me about anyway. And then another wee photograph of things black and white. I have 2 vintage cars in the yard. A wee white 1983 Porsche. This is just the younger boys because I am a recycled teenager. But you see that black car sitting there? I just got that about 3 weeks ago. And you'd never believe it. I got it for nothing. That's even better now. That's a Ballymena man coming in here now. I got this wee car for nothing. And I said, this is just in passing, by the way. This is just the younger ones here, anybody under 90. Maybe has a black car. I'm going to give you a wee bit of information here. I went into this car accessory shop. And I says, can you give me some an old man that could keep a black car clean? Because a black car, we're not talking about the farmer's muck now. I'm talking about these young ones and a shiny black car and you get marks on it very easy. Have you anything for an old man that could keep a black car clean handy? Oh, he says, I have. I brought it with me. Here it is. It's called the poor boy's word. He says, you put a wee bit on the bonnet. Now, don't be doing this now. The way you ladies or men would clean the window. Straight lines up and down. I thought, well, hear a sermon on that now. I praise God at this church that believes in straight lines. They don't believe in taking people around in circles all day. Straight lines. A bit like Jimmy McRae. I learned a lot from a rally driver at one time, a fella called Jimmy McRae. And he was asked, how do you win a rally? He says, I win a rally by putting the foot down right at the first stage. Most of the other competitors try and save the car. He says, too late. Too late. You must go for it right from the day one. From the very first second when that flag is dropped, you must go for it. And friends, it's just the same with the things of God, my friends. There's no point in taking people around in circles. There's only one way. There's only one way. And it's the way of God, it's the way of God's salvation. But you see, my friends, in this beautiful wee bottle here, and that's why I brought it, £17 it cost me. Because I turned it around to the back, and you know what it says? It brings a shine out of the darkness. It brings a shine out of the darkness. And man, it really works. That car's shining, you could see my face on it. In fact, you could shave on it. But I thought, you know, there's a wonderful message for all of us, friends. And we come here and are meeting here this morning. And many of you have been brought out of the darkness. I can see it in your faces. You've got a shine now because God has saved you. God has brought you out of the darkness. A miracle has happened in your life, you see. All pictures and illustrations. And friends, a wonderful picture for us this morning here to encourage God's people here is found in the very first Psalm. And that's why it's number one. And that's why it's there. It gives us that picture within our minds for our encouragement. Black and white. There's just 2 alternatives in this world. Just 2. There's just 2 types of people in here this morning. There's the godly people and there's the ungodly. There's the saved and there's the lost. There are those who are in the broad road and there are those who have found the narrow way. There's the sheep and the goats. There's the wheat and the tares. And it's all here in Psalm 1. In black and white language that we can understand. And here's what it says, my friends. My lovely people here in Lurgan Baptist this morning. And anybody watching on webcast as well. Here's what it says, Psalm 1. Now, this is many of you this morning. This is many of you. You've been brought out of the darkness now by God's grace and by God's mercy. And here's what it says. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man, woman, boy or girl. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now here comes a picture, my friends. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's God's people this morning. That's many of you this morning. And praise God for you. But now for the ungodly. Remember, black and white, my friends. You don't need theology degrees to work this out now. I left school at 15 now. And the only level I have hangs in the garage. It's called the spirit level. And here's number 4 now. Pictures in your mind. God gives us pictures for numbskulls like me to understand. The ungodly. This is the people we have a burden for. This is the people we're praying for here in the back room here. The ungodly are not so. But are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish, you see. Friends, can you see the distinctions now? And you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And that word blessed means happiness. That word blessed means a joy, a peace. I have a neighbour, and he's got this tractor. I'm going to show you it now, Alan, if you put it on. You're going to laugh at this now. This tractor is called the Happy Farmer. Come on. Hands up, anybody ever saw a Happy Farmer? Well, I had a wee go on this thing the other day there. It's called the Happy Farmer. They said in this person's life, when you bought this tractor, you had just 2 happy days. The day you got it in the first place. The day that you became mechanical. The day that the horses were put out to rest. And you were one above your neighbours because you'd got a machine, you'd got a tractor. That was a happy day. And even more happier day was the day it went down the lane. Because that was one of the most unreliable pieces of junk ever in 4 wheels, you see. But friends, when I look at my neighbour's tractor, the Happy Farmer, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed are you this morning. Happy are you this morning. You've got a joy, you've got a peace of your heart that the world can't give you. In fact, it cannot be given by any other source but Almighty God. Oh, blessed is that man. Friends, can you see the power behind that? Can you see the power if you're saved here this morning? Oh, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. How you're quickened to things now. There once a time, maybe in your workplace, you've been, people would have used the Lord's name in vain and it meant nothing to you. It had just been water of a duck's back. But now you're quickened to that and you shudder and the very shivers go down your spine when you hear people in the street and they're taking our Lord's name in vain. How you're quickened to it. How you respond now in a different way. You're no longer in the world. You're no longer in that counsel of the ungodly. You're no longer that way. Why? Because God has saved you. Because of a miracle that's happened in your life. And sometimes, you know, we would share places where they never even heard the gospel even once, you know. And sometimes I would just take them in a simple way to like Ephesians chapter 2, where we can understand things in black and white. And I would just share with all the love that's in me, I would share with them just the 6-word gospel. Just the gospel in 6 words. The first 2 words in Ephesians chapter 2 were dead. Once you were dead, once I was dead to the things of God. No separate, completely alien to the things of God. Deadness. Dead spiritual. Physically alive, but dead spiritually. We're dead. We're dead. And you hath he quickened, my lovely people here this morning, and anybody watching. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. The first 2 words. We're dead. That's where we've all come from. We're dead spiritually. All happened away back in the Garden of Eden when we lost fellowship, when mankind lost fellowship with a holy God, my friends. And the next 2 words, of course, in the 6-word gospel, Ephesians chapter 2. But God. Verse 4. Which how I love that bit. But God. But God in his great mercy wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, he hath quickened us. And of course, as you all know, the next 2 words in the 6-word gospel is found in verse 8 of Ephesians 2. By grace. We're dead, but God, by grace. This is your testimony here this morning. Many of you, you were dead, spiritual, you've been reborn. A miracle has happened in your life because God intervened in your life. God began to quicken you of your sin. God began to bring you under conviction of sin by grace. There's so many people out there trying to work their way to heaven, friends. It's all of God's grace. By grace are we saved through faith. And that not of ourselves. It's a gift from God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. And you shall be like a tree planted by by the rivers of water. My lovely people here this morning, God says you're a tree. If you're saved down here this morning, you're a tree. Now get that in your head. When you go out this afternoon, maybe walk with a dog or whatever, and you see every tree between here in Portland or wherever you come from, friends, you look at the majesty of a tree. God doesn't call you a plant. God doesn't call you a bunch of flowers that's going to wither and die. He's calling you a tree. Now get that in your head. And John 15, the Lord says, here's another picture. I am the true vine, and you are the branches. Now get the hold of this now. About 2 weeks ago, I was going down the back lane. And for years, I pulled apples from this branch, from my elderly cousins, Bramley apples. And it was only 2 weeks ago I discovered something, that this branch had been grafted to a crab tree. I've been grafted to a crab tree. Have it here. And there's one of the apples from it. Now, I know it's not as good an Armagh apple, but it's for County Antrim, it's all right. And friends, for years, I didn't realise that my Uncle Alec at one time, my Aunt Margaret came from Portadown, down in outside Dungannon Road there. And when we came over every year, we get bunches of flowers and apples and stuff back. And you know, it was a mighty journey to come from Randallstown to Portadown at one time. When we were wee brats of Wayne's, there was five of us, and my dad put us into the back of a wee A35 van. And we had to come by Crumlin and Moira and all them out twisty roads. And Aunt Margaret didn't get married till she was 40-odd, and her house was always very prim and proper. And by the time we came around now, we were maybe sick for half an hour, worse first. But you see, we thought we were going to the other end of the world. We thought we needed a passport, even. It was so far away. And we always come back with vegetables, and we come back with stuff, and my uncle Alec must have come back with a wee slip, like that there, from one of Aunt Margaret's Bramley trees, from one of the tailors. And he must have cut a wee slip, just a wee groove, into this crab tree. And how that crab tree fed that wee branch, bit by bit. Just enough feeding. Too much power, you see, from the crab tree, I would have killed it. Just like the seed you see sown all around. How the power of nature just feeds that gently, little by little. Not too much that would kill it, but just enough. And then 3 years' time, the branch gets a bit more. 5 years' time, the branch gets more power and more sap, bit by bit, until it started to produce fruit. End up, that's here. Friends, that's what's happened to you. If you're saved here this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ, you see, is the picture. When I thought of my Uncle Alec cutting that slit, that's the nail-pierced hand of Christ. That's the redeeming blood of Christ. And you've been grafted to the true vine. He says, I am the true vine, and you're the branch. You're one of the branches. All your spiritual nourishment comes from the true vine. And you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. This tree didn't grow up naturally, you see. It was planted. God has saved you, not because of anything you have ever done, but all because of the grace of God and the mercy of God. Our God is sovereign in all things. And he's called you. And he's grafted you. Oh, friends, this morning, can you picture who you are this morning? If you're saved, you've been grafted to Christ. You've been grafted to the true vine. And he calls you a tree planted by the rivers of water, where he's going to feed you and he's going to keep you. And that tree's not going to blow down now. That last storm took a few trees down. But this tree's not going to blow down. This tree could look a bit higgled sometimes. And that reminds me at the minute of the trees out there. They're beginning to lose their leaves. And how even when you get to the middle of December, they can look pretty bleak looking. But you still know they're alive. And that's a picture, my friends, for the journey that we all can go through. Of the struggles and trials of life. The times that we carry the cross. The times we can't even pray for ourselves because of things that's happening to us. But yet we're all deep down inside. We know that we're alive in Christ. Even though we're facing the battles and the struggles. The days have no explanation why this is happening. And all the mysteries that happens. And the burden of life itself. And he says, and you shall be like a tree. But deep down inside, every one of you know that when spring comes, the leaves come back in the tree. And the full foliage begins again. And friends, that's the time that we need a fellowship when we're going through those earthly battles. That's why we need this church. That's why you need this fellowship. Folk to pray for you when you are going through the struggles, from your doctor appointments, from disasters, from tragedies at home and everything else, and family loss. That's when you need a family. That's when you need a praying family, like the folk in the back room before the start of this service. That's why we need them. And you shall be like a tree, and this tree is not going to blow down now. Because my lovely people here this morning, when God starts her work in a human being's life, he'll finish it now. Or you could be a prodigal for a while. You could face the battles, and your faith could seem a bit low. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you say, George, I'm a bit empty this morning. I don't feel as close to God as I once was. That's real. That's nothing to be ashamed of, by the way. Because it says in the Bible, and you shall produce his fruit in his season. And sometimes, you see, God lets you use faith. But my lovely people here this morning, if we were on the top of the mountain all the time, then we wouldn't need faith at all. We'll not need faith in heaven, you see. But God has given us faith. Hebrews 11. Faith is believing without seeing. Faith is believing without seeing. And that's why God gives us faith. When we don't feel his distance, when we feel he's far away from us, oh Lord, you're not as close as you once were. That's the reality. That's the reality of life. I could tell you different scriptures. You go to Habakkuk there, he was at that. I could tell you people like C.S. Lewis even. When his wife died, you must be dead, God. He was going through a low patch. Martin Luther, the very same. Lord, where are you, Lord? When he was in the depths of despair in that prison cell, thinking the execution was coming, he wrote his prayer down. And we are encouraged by that prayer. This is real life, my friends. Real life and real people. Lord, where are you? I've never felt so alone in my life. Lord, where are you? Lord, if there's ever a time for you to show your face, it's now, Lord. It's now. Yet, well, Martin Luther in that low spot of his life didn't realise that God already had it all planned out. That God had brought people in to rescue him and put him into a monastery where he could start translating the Bible into German. Into German, friends. And you shall be a tree planted by the rivers of water. You're not going to blow down now. God will finish what he starts in your life. One day I was crossing the yard. John 10, 27, 28 came into my mind, friends. This is maybe for somebody here this morning. Maybe you feel a wee bit dry. Maybe you feel the leaves are starting to blow off a bit and you don't feel as close to God as you once were. He says, my sheep will hear my voice. He says, my sheep will hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I will give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Friends, that's our God this morning. That's our God that we worship this morning. That's why you've come here this morning. I pray you haven't come because of tradition. Because you're expected to be here. You've come to praise the living God. The God who's real, my friends. And you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And you shall produce his fruit in his season. Now come on here, young person. I got saved when I was 13. It's another 40 years before any fruit now, really. Real fruit. And I cried to God minutes of time. I said, Lord, why all them wasted years? And the Lord showed me this verse. I used the 40 years farming, doing all the work and around the farm and all the rest of it for a purpose now. Sometimes our young folk can be troubled because people, their peers, expect too much of them. And then they bring in youth workers, boys at 20 or 25, and they have no experience of life, sorry, but you know, you need to wise up here. That's why in America all the best youth workers are all over 50. I'm trying to encourage myself. And you will produce his fruit and his season. You've got all the head knowledge in the world. But no heart knowledge. That's why Henry Ford at one time said, experience is the harvest of life. Experience is the harvest of life. And every harvest is the result of sowing. Every harvest is the result of sowing. And you will produce his fruit and his season. It says, your leaf shall not wither. And whatsoever you do shall prosper now. But friends, there are so many false people out there. And they believe they're attached to the true vine. You see, this wee slip here, you can bend it. Oh, struggles and trials. I cut this out of the haze this morning. Look at that, you can bend it right round. That's you if you're really, truly saved. But this here is you if you just look the part. You're dry inside. You've been bandaged to the tree, but you've never been born again. You've all the religious knowledge up here. And you can even preach a sermon 100 times over. But you've got no fellowship with God. You haven't got that closeness with God. And you're just a dry stick. That's us. That's it. I love the things in black and white that I can understand. I know many people like that. The form of godliness, the Bible says, but denying the power. They've never been truly grasped in the first place. They made a wee false profession years ago and they believe that's it. No fit. They're dry.
Nothing. Just dry stick.
And your leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever you do shall prosper. Now we need a bit of a break on here, please, second. That's not the false gospel we're talking about. That's not on half a dozen cars at Newcastle or 2 10 homes in the Bahamas we're talking about here. No. God will give you a loaf of bread and God will give you a roof over your head. That's all he's promised you. He said he'll never see the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. It's already been quoted. But friends, and you shall prosper spiritually. That God's going to feed you bit by bit, step by step. Remember what I said at the start? With that wee shit. If that got full power, I would have killed it. But God feeds you bit by bit over the years. It's known as being saved. It's sanctification. God will give you the level of faith required for your calling. God will feed you bit by bit. And friends, it's a lifetime journey. A younger person here, if you're younger this evening and you feel that you're not, or this morning and you're not feeling you're growing as quick as somebody else, so you listen to me. I want to encourage you here this morning. God will feed you in His time, and His purposes and His plans. But it's God that's going to do the feeding. It's God that will do the feeding. God will feed you. And He'll keep you. And you will produce His fruit in His season. And your leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever you do shall prosper, you say. But then you know if anybody unsaved, God's people, you're a tree. The Lord says you're a branch on this tree. He gives you the picture in your mind. But the ungodly are just a chaff. And being a farmer, I know all about chaff now. When I was a wee boy, I got a job of burning the chaff. That's how stuff would hardly burn. Get the picture in your mind, black and white. Chaff. Every single person in the world that's not saved, the world, the media, the governments, broad road, God describes you in a language that we all can take in. We're all born chaff. That means you've just got the flesh. Nothing inside you. The good bit is removed, you see. The good bit of us was removed in the Garden of Eden. That's why we're lost. That's why we're in darkness. That's why we need to be saved. That's why we need to be born again by God. To fill the chaff. The chaff's just a husk. I better go easy. The caretaker will kill me. And the Lord says in language that we can understand, the ungodly are just at the chaff. But the wind will blow us away. Nothing in it. Nothing. An empty shell, an empty husk. The flesh, that's all we have. And the chaff will get into the ground one day and go to a lost eternity, you see. Oh, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And we need to keep praying for the chaff. We were all chaff at one time. But now we've been reborn with the Spirit of the living God. Up the back lane, I have also another wee thing. I took a wee picture of it here with a blacksmith shop. And every time I go through, I was a wee boy, like some of these young ones I used to play in the blacksmith shop and hammer the anvil and do all that sort of stuff and drive my uncle mad. John Deere was also born as a blacksmith. I'm not going into any big stories of John Deere, but there's a wee wonderful lesson in this. John Deere was a Christian man, a godly man, a saved man. And he was a blacksmith. And his company grew. He developed ploughs in the early days. The ploughs that broke up America, basically. Because they had a shiny surface on them. He made the ploughs out of stainless steel. And that was a breakthrough in those days. But I'm only showing you this at the end of my wee talk here. For two reasons. Up to 1999, the John Deere sign was, to show the next slide, Alan, there it was. For all them years, that wee deer was jumping down. Up to 1999. And if you look at some of the old machines and the films or even round about, you'll see the wee deer jumping down, my friends. But in the year 2000, with a new millennium, there it is now. John Deere had a new image. They wanted no longer the deer to be jumping down. They're looking forward to a new millennium. They're looking forward to the year 2000 as a company and moving on. Now the deer was rising. If you look at all the new machines round about, and your golf buggies or your lawnmowers or whatever it may, the deer's rising. And friends, that's a black and white picture also of every person here this morning. When the end of life's journey, you're either going down or you're going up, you see. When I see the John Deere's at the minute going up and down our road, I look at the badge. And I thank God for faithful Sunday school teachers and a wee mission hall down the road that sowed the seed of the gospel into my life. And even more importantly, at the time they prayed for us wee brats to get us into the kingdom of God, friends. Just at the fellowship here. The reality in black and white, my lovely people here this morning, you're either going down to lost eternity that can't be described, or you're going up to another level of life. It's called heaven. The harvest of the soul. And that harvest begins on this earth. Maybe for somebody this morning, the harvest will begin this morning. This is life eternal, that I may know thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Harvest begins the very minute, the very second that you've been born again by God. You come under new management now. You leave the chaff. You're filled by God's presence. You're grafted to the true vine. God's got a plan and purpose for your life. And that wonderful invitation in Matthew 11:28 is so real. It's so real. Maybe it's for somebody here this morning. Just one person here this morning. And the Lord says, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. I sometimes look at that in the mornings when I'm thinking out loud, you know. And people can get so caught up in all their doctrines and all their different creeds and all their different denominations and all that stuff. The Lord speaks to us in language we can understand when he says, come unto me. Oh, friends, can you see it? Many of you this morning have responded to that invitation. Come unto me, the Lord says. Come unto me. Don't be looking at all the side issues. Don't be looking at all the things that can divide denominations and everything else. Christ says, come unto me. There's only one way. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. The Lord says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Oh, friends, this morning, and this time of fellowship here this morning, I wonder, can you see it? Maybe this will be a message for you, just for somebody saved, yes, but just a wee bit tired, maybe. Through the struggles of loved ones and health issues and everyone else. I want you to know, my lovely person, that God is at your right hand 24/7. Even the days that you don't feel it, you don't feel his nearness, you don't feel his closeness, you look at Psalm 16 and our God is at our right hand. When you fall asleep tonight, just look over to the right. Our God is with you. He's with you. And he's given you a faith to believe. And he's given you a faith that will restore you and build you up again in due season. We all go through mysteries and struggles of life now. I personally, in my wee family, we have half our children in heaven. We lost a wee daughter of 7.5 months. My son 10 years past now, my brain tumor. All my earthly plans for the farm, definitely gone. But I know I'll see them again, you see. But friends, it gives you an urgency never to miss an opportunity, because God could be speaking to somebody here this morning for the very first time. No, you've heard the gospel 100,000 times. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking when God removes the scales from your eyes, when God opens up the blinds and lets you truly see. That's someday now. Friends, that's a miracle day. That's a supernatural day. That's the God of the universe beginning to speak to you for the very first time, and he's letting you see a wee glimmer of spiritual things. Oh, friends, what a day. What a day. Will you remember the tree this morning? God says you're a tree. And he's planted you where he's going to feed you. That's why you're here. This fellowship believes in straight lines, you see. It's not going to take you around in circles for half a day and then send you out with, and just away you go there. Fill this place for emotion. Get the man, doesn't matter what way you are. Tell them a lot of lies, doesn't matter. Just get the man, fill the seats. Straight lines. And you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You're separated from the people, the worldly people. He's put a new song in your mouth. He's put a hymn of praise now. And many shall see it in fear and put their trust in the Lord. If there's any person here, even one, and you say, Lord, I'm chaff yet. Well, praise God, you're in the right place. You respond now. You respond to that call of God, not to man now. It's to God. You don't need anybody. You just talk to God. Talk to God on your way home in the car. You speak to the Lord and say, I don't want to be chaff, Lord. I want to be one of your branches now. I don't want to have a brittle branch either. Lord, I want the real thing. Will you fill me with your presence? Will you fill me with your power? Say, Lord, that's the relationship, Lord, I want with you, Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, help me, Lord. in these days. Heavenly Father, I pray just for every life. I pray, Lord, for every need that is in this place, Father, and you know all needs. You know, Father, those that need a bit of encouragement this morning. Maybe they feel a bit like that tree and the leaves is off and they feel a bit withered, Lord. Father, revive them, I pray, Lord. Give them a word in season this morning for them personally. And Father, for anybody here still outside the kingdom, Lord. I pray, Father, you remove the scales from their eyes, Lord. I pray you remind them of the branch that just breaks like a crow would build an esmeralda, Lord. Oh, say, Lord, please, Lord, save them, Father, this morning. By your grace and by your mercy, Father. May they accept that wonderful invitation when you tell them, come unto you, Lord. Heavenly Father, I just pray for every need that is here. In the Lord Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.